a portion of Scripture to read before you this morning. We ask that you'd pray for us. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we'll be reading from the first chapter of the book of Revelation this morning. And I typically just try to stay out of Revelations as much as possible, but the Lord gave me this thought earlier this week, and I didn't sleep much last night. I guess I've preached it about four or five times already. I don't rehearse my sermons. I don't think there's any way to do that. But sometimes they get on you, and sometimes they stay with you, and you sleep with them, you eat with them, you drive with them, you pray with them. Sometimes those are the ones that really get in bed with you at night, and I'm glad that God does that to me from time to time. You may say, "Preacher, what do you mean you want it to keep you up at night?" I'm glad that God's Word is able to do that. It should get in bed with us at night. It should worry us. It should keep us thinking about Him at all times, and I'm glad that He's able to do that to me. Glad that He does that. If it was never on my mind, I would say that I probably didn't need to be standing here, but I'm glad that God's Word is with me. Revelations, the first chapter, and we'll start our reading in the seventh verse. I don't have a terrible amount of reading for you this morning, but I do want to start there for the Lord be our helper. It says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt with a paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." If we could take for a portion of Scripture this morning as our thought, it'd be from the eighth verse, and it would be the Almighty. I thought about this morning, and I guess if I could title it, it'd be the Almighty God. I thought about this morning, and as the Lord gave this to me, I thought about the power of God. And Brother Coleman alluded to that this morning in Sunday school, and I thought, well, if I don't watch him, he's going to get right off and start preaching or start talking about my sermon this morning. But that's okay. I like when God's words and His ways, they start syncing up, and they start, people have the same ideas and they have the same thoughts as I do. I'm glad that it happens that way. But this morning, I want to talk about somebody that is bigger than you and I. You say, "Preacher, you talk about Him every Sunday." I'm glad that I have someone who is bigger than I am. I'm glad this morning there's a whole lot of people that live in this world that serve a lot of different things that don't amount to anything. People serve so many things that will never amount to anything for them, or in the end of this life, it'll never help them in any way. But I want to tell you about an Almighty God. And what Almighty means is all-powerful. The God that I serve is all-powerful. In the Scriptures that I read, it says He is living. He was dead, but He shall live forevermore. The God that I serve is powerful. And you say, "Preacher, what do you mean about powerful?" The God that I serve is the one that holds everything in the palm of His hands. There's a song that the little
little kids used to sing, He's got the whole world in His hands. And I believe that this morning. I believe God has everything in the palm of His hand. You and I are right in the center, right in the palm of the Lord's hands. Everything that has been or ever will be is in the center of God. God controls everything. And now I want to relay this morning that the God that I serve is the greatest being that there ever has been or that there ever will be. There was one that one time thought that he could rise up and overthrow what God had done, and his name is Satan. He really thought that he had power, that he had some way about him that could make him seem above God. You know, there's a lot of people this morning that think that they are above God. There's a lot of people in different religious realms and sects that believe that they are above God. There's not one above the holy, almighty God that I serve. There's no, not one. There is God Almighty above us who holds us today. He's the one that holds the very life that you and I have. He's the one that holds the keys. I remember Peter was talking to Jesus over in Matthew, and he was talking about the church. And Jesus asked Peter, He says, "Whom do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some say thou art this person or that person." And He said, "No, no, Peter, whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." And He goes on to tell him, He says, I will set my church upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My God this morning holds the keys to this church. Now in the office over here, I have a set of keys to the door out front. But this church is founded upon the rock of God. This church serves an almighty God. We're not serving something that is going to pass away in a few days, a few decades, or a few years. We're serving something that is bigger than you and I. I want to pose this question to you this morning. Is this the God you really want to mess with? Is this the God that you really want to smite or stand in front of His ways? I'm believing this morning as I stand before you that this nation that we live in likes to smite God, but likes to spit in His face. They've done a pretty good job of it in the last few decades. Done a pretty good job of it. And it breaks my heart. He is the Almighty God. I thought about these verses of Scripture and what John must have seen. And it says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." He was talking about, "Behold, He cometh." And He's not talking about just anybody. He's talking about the Lord Himself returning to this world, or this earth. He will never set foot on this earth again, but He will return for His children. He will come in the clouds, and He will return for every single one of us. And what He was relaying here is that they're going to see Him. Every eye shall see God when He returns. There's not going to be one that will get out of it. There's nobody that can get outside the bounds of an almighty God. There's not one. Nobody can get outside of it. So everybody's going to see God when He returns. They're going to know that He is coming back. Oh, what a great day it's going to be for those that have been saved by the grace of God. It's going to be a great day for the Almighty God to return to get His children. But for those that are lost and undone without Him, it's going to be a sad, sad day. And He told John, He said, "You write these things to the churches of Asia. You write these things down in a book and you send them to them." He told him, He said, "I am Alpha and I am Omega, the beginning and the end." In the Greek alphabet, Alpha is first, it's the first letter, and Omega is the last letter. He's the very beginning and He's the very end. He's the first line and He's the last line. He's the period on everything that this world will ever have. When God comes back, He will destroy this world. He's the beginning. You want to talk about an all-powerful God? You think about the book of Genesis and how He created everything that has been. Well, He took 6 days and He began to create a world. And He spoke things into existence. You know, I believe there's a lot of people that have a power this morning. Not the kind of power that God has, but they have power to create things and build things and make things. But nobody has the power that God has. There's not one person that could take things, mold it up, speak it into existence, and make what we have before us. There's nobody that could do that except the Almighty God. Not one. And as He spoke those things into existence, He created a man. His name was Adam. And He looked on His creation and He saw that it was good. The Lord liked what He had created. The Lord knew that what He created was good. What He'd seen before Him knew that there must have been some power in what He had made. Oh, but He gave them free moral agency. And we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. He gave them the ability to do what they would do, and how they want to go about things. He gave them that ability. People say that He made a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. There was no mistake in that. God had a plan. God had a plan from the very beginning. You think about a God that has always been there. And you know, I've thought about it many times. I can't explain where He came from. I was not there. I've never physically seen God. But I believe that He existed, and I believe He's always been there. And I believe that He always will be there. That's the Almighty of our God. He's all powerful. He's always been and He always will be. He says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I've been there and I always will be. And you remember that. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm Almighty. But He created this world. And He set things into motion, and all people, and I'm not going to get into it much today, but people have been sinning ever since. And you know, God sometimes, and Brother Colin mentioned this in Sunday school, sometimes God steps back and just allows things to go on. He does. He just allows things to have dominion over different things. And I believe this morning, if you've studied anything about science, that humans are at the top of the food chain. We are the kings of this natural physical kingdom that we have. And I believe this morning, as we look around us, as far as things go, we have some power about us. While the Lord gave animals for us to go and kill, to have meat and to eat and things of that nature, for clothes and things of that nature, things that we needed, He gave us the power to have that dominion over them. But there's one thing He didn't give us power over, was Himself. God has the all-sufficient power. God is the all-supreme being. Now, I thought when I was growing up, I thought my dad was the most powerful individual that there ever had been. 6'7" dude, I mean, just big as he could be. I mean, I thought he was bulletproof. I didn't think anything could hurt him. Whenever we were at home and there'd be a bad storm coming, I thought if Dad was there, he could take care of it. I thought he would make it all better because he was a big guy. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was talking about. I put my confidence in him. I knew that my dad would make everything all right. I thought he was all powerful. When you're a little kid and you're looking up to somebody who's a whole lot taller than you are, you think he's the biggest individual there ever has been. But you know, as I've gotten older, I've watched my dad's health maybe fade a little bit. He doesn't have the best health anymore, and he doesn't get around the best anymore. And I realize that you and I are limited on the power that we have. We can only do so much. We are finite in the way that we do things. We have a limit to everything. But the God that I serve is infinite. He can have everything and do everything all at the exact same time. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. He's everywhere all the time, and He knows everything. That's the kind of God I want to serve. I don't want a God that is not living. I don't want a God that's dead. I want something that will protect me and take care of me. Amen. That's what we need. We're a people wandering about. We're a people that have gone around doing things, and we don't really have any power to control not one thing that's within our grasp. But I know the One that does have all the power. But I want you to take notice of the 10th verse of this first chapter of the book of Revelations. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And again he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now God's voice spoke to John, and it was as loud as a trumpet. A trumpet has a very distinct sound. When you hear one, you know what it is. And you think about this morning hearing that. I am Alpha and I am Omega, the first and the last. John is getting this revelation from God Himself. God is allowing him to see things that you and I have never seen before. He was able to witness the power of God in a way that we've never experienced. But I'm so glad today that God knew just exactly what would happen, when it would happen, and how it would happen. You know, there's a lot of things in the book of Revelations, and I tell you what, you get in there very far and it'll scare you to death. Some of the things that has taken place, some of the things that will take place, and some of the things that are awaiting us in heaven. Those are the good things. But John wanted us to know today that God is in control of everything. He's first and He's last. So you put yourself right in the middle of that. And that's what we must do when we get saved. We've got to get right in the middle of the first and the last. That's exactly on the spectrum where we need to fall. But I just want you to imagine this morning hearing this trumpet-like voice saying, I am Alpha and I am Omega, the first and the last. And then get this vision of what John saw there in the 12th verse. And he heard the voice as like a trumpet. And it says, I turned and saw the voice which spake. And there's a lot of symbolism in what John saw in these next few verses. He saw the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head, his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And of his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now you think about this, what John saw. Proverbs tells us in the 9th chapter and 10th verse, fearing of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You say, preacher, you want me to fear the Lord? Sure do. I want to fear God. And I'm not talking about being scared of Him. I'm going to say today, every single one of us need to be scared of what God can do. God is all powerful. He has the very ability to strike any of us dead at any moment. That is in His hands. It's not our power to know when we will die. That's why it's important to be prepared when God calls us out of this world. But He has that power. That's in His control. But you think about fearing the Lord. We need to give God reverence or respect is what that fear means. It means to give God the glory and the honor of which He is deserving. And I believe this morning that an almighty God is deserving of fear. He's deserving of people that will worship Him and serve Him diligently. I believe that. If fearing of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we'll turn that around and we'll see what the other side says. The Bible teaches me that the preaching of the gospel to them that are unwise is foolishness. Now, what do I mean by that? Those that hear the gospel preached and say in their heart there's no God, they're unwise. And He uses the foolish things, preaching of the gospel, to confound the wise. He takes something like an old preacher standing behind a book board and telling the world about what God has done to confound those that are lost and undone without Him. But fearing of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in order for anybody to have ever been saved or to ever be saved, they first got to fear the Lord. They've got to realize that God is who that He says that He is. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the Almighty God. They've got to know that. They've got to fear. And you think about, and I read in your hearing about John seeing this, and he fell down as dead. He saw what God allowed for him to be revealed, and he saw this and he fell down as dead. Now you and I, as God's people, I believe through the Holy Spirit, we get a glimpse of God from time to time. I believe that. The Bible says that the God is three persons, three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I've never seen God physically, and I've never seen Jesus Christ physically. Oh, but I felt the Spirit of God. I know what that feels like. I know what it's like to be in the presence of God. And he fell down as dead. But what did he see? He saw the head, and his hairs were white, like unto snow, as white as snow. And I believe that means it was infinite wisdom. We're dealing with somebody who has been through it all, who knows all about it. He's been everywhere and everything, and he's relaying this information to you, the Almighty God. And it says, his eyes were a flame of fire. He looks in and he sees this burning desire. That's what he sees. He sees the flaming fire that is the Lord. I want to turn over, if the Lord will be our helper, and we can find it for just a moment. If God will be our helper, in Deuteronomy, and I believe it's in the 24th chapter, talks about the Lord as a flaming fire. And I'm glad this morning that my God is not a wimp. And you may not like that word, but my God is not something that is tossed about in every which way. He is something that is greater than this world could ever imagine. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Deuteronomy 4 and 24. If the Lord will be our helper, we can turn there just real quickly. It says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." My Lord is jealous over His people. And I'm not talking about a jealousy as a sinful jealousy. You know, people get jealous in this life. You've got something that I have, or you've got something that I want, and I'm going to take it no matter what it takes to get that. But God is jealous over His people. This Almighty God that I have has saved my soul. You think about this morning. Follow me for just a moment. The God, the Almighty God, has saved my soul. He sent His Son to die for me. He did that. The Almighty God sent His only begotten Son for me. And you know what? He would have done it just for me if that's what it would have taken. But He saved my soul. Gives me a home eternal someday after all. The Almighty God has done this. And then when God saves my soul, He leads me into one of His old-fashioned missionary Baptist churches. Sets me in one. The Bible says that He places people in His church such as He would. The Lord saves my soul and then places me in His church. He's jealous over His people. And He doesn't want them turning to the left and to the right and to everything of this world. He wants people that will serve Him with everything that He has. He's jealous over Him. He tells us in Exodus when He gives Moses the commandments, He says, "Thou shalt have no other God before Me." Anything that comes before God is an idol. And we need to take those idols and we need to lay them aside, lay them out of our way, because anything that comes between me and my service to God makes God angry. And it makes Him jealous. Is that the kind of God that we really want to mess with this morning? Is a God that is almighty, has the ability. You think about old Korah over in Numbers in 16th chapter. And you turn over there and look at that sometime. Write it down. You go home and read about it. Read about what happened between Korah, Moses, and Aaron. Why? Moses had been made. He'd been ordained by God, him and Aaron. Oh, and Korah was upset, and all of Israel, the congregation of Israel, was there. And the Lord told Korah, Korah had led some away, had turned some of them aside. They'd been rebelling against Moses and Aaron. And the Lord tells Moses, He says, "You gather away." He says, "Because the congregation of Israel shall suffer for what they've done." And you know what Moses and Aaron did? Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and began to cry for the congregation of Israel and said, "Lord, just because there's been a few, please don't bring the wrath upon all." And God made Moses and Aaron step away. And the Scriptures tell us over in Numbers, the 16th chapter, it says, "The ground clave asunder." Meaning the ground opened up and swallowed up the congregation of Israel because they disobeyed God. because they disobeyed Him. And as it went back together, it says the congregation of Israel, the ones that were left, they went away fearful because they were afraid that the ground would open up and consume them. This is the kind of power that my God has. It's to take the ground and open it up and swallow whole nations if He should choose. This nation that we live in here in the United States of America, I believe we are treading on very hard times if we do not turn to God. I expect Him just any moment to just open the ground and say, I'm done with all of you, and just cast them out. Oh, wouldn't that be awful? But this is the kind of power that my God has. Is this the God that this world wants to mess with? Brothers and sisters, as saved people, is this the kind of God that we want to mess with? I'm talking about serving God with everything. The last few weeks I've preached about following the Lord and seeking the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us be here at Mount Calvary ones that will serve God with everything. Let us not be like Israel and Korah and Him have to open the ground under us and swallow us up because that we are disobedient unto the Lord. I'm expecting Mount Calvary to be a place of refuge for this neighborhood. I'm expecting her to be a great nation for those in Nashville. That's what I'm expecting. Brothers and sisters, we're moving right on ahead and serving God. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing else that I know to do than to do that. And you want to talk about some power. I quote these verses of Scripture often. But you know what He said in His Great Commission? He says, lo, I give unto you all power. And what does He say after that? He says, I will be with you always. I will be with you always. Even unto the ends of the world. Now, if God is all powerful, and we at Mount Calvary say that we are His church, and I believe that we are. If we say that, do we not have access to that same power? Over in the day of Pentecost, the church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was. The church was baptized in what God made a promise that He would send His Holy Spirit. And He's been giving that to His churches ever since. We look around and I hear people saying all the time, oh, you know, we just don't have the power like we used to. Have you ever heard people say that? Oh, we don't have the power like we used to. We don't have people getting saved like we used to. Brothers and sisters, it's time that we as God's people fall on our face as dead before a Savior that is Almighty. And say, Lord, we know that You've got all the power. Lord, we're Your church. Lord, we're Your people. Would You help us? Over in 2 Chronicles, He says, if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God is able to do that. You think about over in the New Testament, as the Lord was going into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees met Him, and I guess the disciples had been talking about the mercies and the things that God had been doing around in His ministry. And the Pharisees said, you need to hush them up. They need to stop talking. We don't need to hear this anymore. And God said, if they will not speak, the rocks will cry out. What does that mean? It means if God's people will not speak for His power, the rocks will cry out. God's going to get His honor and His glory some way. He'll either get it out of you and I, or He'll get it out of the rocks. Thought about Moses smiting that old rock. Got him in trouble, didn't it? I don't want the rocks to do the job that He's given me. I don't want the rocks to be the one to proclaim the power of God. But He can do that. My God can do anything that He wants to. But I want to say this morning, that my God is a just God. People don't believe that anymore. Why here all the time? If God was really a loving God, why He wouldn't let some of the bad things happen in this world that He does. God could stop the hurricanes and the tornadoes, and He could stop the diseases, and He could stop this, and He could stop that if He so chooses. But guess what God gave us? Free will. And I told them Wednesday night, when sin entered into the world, sin has been going full blast, and sin is the creation of every one of these bad things. Now sometimes God allows things to happen, and you know, sometimes God allows things to be rerouted around us. God is powerful, and God is able to do whatever that we ask Him to do. I want to read some more verses of Scripture, if the Lord will be our helper. Over in Hebrews, in the 10th chapter. And these verses have been on my heart for quite a while. And I told them last Sunday night, I said, sometimes God gives us sermons and we don't get to preach them right away. And when God allows us to preach them, oh, it feels kind of good to let them go, to get them out of our way. I'm glad that He does that. Sometimes, like I said, this one's been in bed with me all week, and I realize this isn't a message that's going to make us jump up and down, scream, holler, and thank the Lord for everything that He's done. But what it should do us is it should make us reverence the holy God of heaven. If it doesn't make us worship God because He is all powerful, then nothing else will. If we don't realize today that God is in control, nothing else will stir us up. Because God is in control. That should make us happy. That should make us shout from the rooftops that God is our Savior, that God is our God. We've got people today that are serving things, and they're as dead as they can be, but my God's not. He told John, He said, I am living. I am the one that was dead, but I'm the one that is alive forevermore. Hebrews. In the 10th chapter. And I'm not going to read all these verses because it would take up too much time and I don't have the time to do that this morning. But I want to read the 30th and 31st verse. It says, For we know that He has said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge His people. And you think about this verse of Scripture right here, the 31st verse. It says, It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You think about that this morning. Why, if we believed in a God that was dead, it wouldn't scare us too bad. It wouldn't make us realize that we have a job or a duty to serve it like it is because we have a living God. You think about falling in the hands of a living God. John Edwards, many, many years ago, he preached a sermon or wrote a sermon out. It says, it's entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Brothers and sisters, if sinners are in the hands of an angry God, then I believe his name was John Edwards. But I believe very much so if they were in the hands of an angry God then. How much more are they in the hands of an angry God now? People say, well, angry is sin, and if we say that our God is not a sinner, then how come He can get angry? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. When I say God is jealous for His people, you just imagine today, just give yourself just a few moments and think about this. If you gave your only son for a world full of people, and they turned their backs on you, how would you feel? Wouldn't you be jealous? Wouldn't you be angry that people have turned their backs on you? Brothers and sisters, God wants us completely. When He saves us, He saves us completely. We don't get saved in steps. We get saved to the uttermost when God saves a soul. So when we go into service for God, we need to go in with everything we've got. We need to go in with every part of our being serving the Lord. Because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Let me put it that way. That's what the Scripture's saying. That's what we want to teach. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now these Scriptures, and I believe Paul was the writer of Hebrews, what I believe Paul was telling them, and he had some Scriptures before that, and he was talking to people that were his people. He was telling them to hold fast in the faith that he's given them. Keep the duty of being a saved person. And in the heading of this, in these few verses, the 26th to the 31st verse, in my Bible, it says it's a punishment for willful sin. God allows us to get into sin from time to time. And sometimes He allows us to do that willfully. But sometimes God tests us to see just how strong that we really are. And there's punishment for willfully sinning. I'm not talking about a sin of omission. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about sinning because we just think that we're sinners and we're able to do that. God is not happy with that. God is not happy when we live our lives in such a way. He tells them, He says, "For we know that He has said, 'Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord.'" And again, "The Lord shall judge His people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I told you this morning as I began that there's that little children's song, "He's got the whole world in His hands." But you think about that this morning. Every one of us are at the mercy of the living God. Now to some of you that may be upsetting, but to me that is a wonderful and a glorious thing. It's wonderful to be in the palm of the living God. There's a lot of people today that God is holding up, and someday He will cast them into outer darkness. The Scriptures teach me, and I believe Jesus was speaking when He said it, He said He has made this earth His footstool. He says, "Be not upset," or "Don't be upset, because I have overcome the world." No other God has ever done that. No other God can do that. No other God will ever be able to do that. But I'm glad this morning that my God has overcome everything that there ever has been or ever will be. When I told you about John seeing this face and this person with white hair as snow, that showed wisdom. And I've said this before, and I believe it to be the truth. God has been everywhere that we'll ever go or ever will be. I'm glad God does that. I thought about, and I'm going to try to close in just a few moments, if the Lord be our helper. Thought about Peter and Jesus there over in the Gospels. The Lord told Peter, He said, "You just come right on out here." Lord was out there walking around on water, and I've never been able to do that. The Lord can, though. It'd be an awful sight if I stepped out of a boat and tried to walk on water. But the Lord told Peter, He said, "You come right on to me. You just step right out and walk on to me, but keep your eyes on me." He says, "If you take your eyes off, though, ye will surely drown," or "you will not make it." Peter steps out, and maybe he took a couple steps, and then he took his eyes off to see just exactly if he'd stepped out. He was walking. I believe he took at least one step on it. Then he took his eyes off and he began to sink. Then what does God do? He goes over and He grabs him and He lifts him back out. Brothers and sisters, we need to keep our eyes on God. I thought of another instance where the sea came into play. And the Lord was in the bottom of a ship out there on one of the seas, and a storm came up. And some of them were getting upset. They thought, "Lord, what are we going to do? Why, the boat's going to capsize if we don't do something about this." And they go down and they see that Jesus is asleep in the bottom of the boat. And they say, "Do you not care if we perish?" And the Lord says, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And I believe the Lord spoke to the wind. He spoke to the seas and He says, "Peace, be still." There's not another God that can speak to the wind and speak to the sea and calm every one of them. But my God can, because He is almighty. He's all powerful. I've got to read these verses of Scripture, and I'm not going to go into them this morning because the imagery and the things behind them are just more than I have time for this morning. I thought that I would have just an innumerable amount of time this morning to get to them. Sometimes the Lord takes a sermon, and I've had these verses on my heart, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to get to those, and they're going to be great verses. But I want every one of you, if you will, to take these home with you, and maybe we'll pick them back up at some other time. They're a minor prophet over in the Old Testament. And this is absolutely, and I say this all of the time, but these are some of my favorite Scriptures because it shows the power of God. It shows just exactly what God can do when we disobey Him. It is a reminder to me all of the time that I'm just in His hands. And at any moment, if He should desire, everything I've got could be taken from me. You say, preacher, that wouldn't be just. Well, He's the keeper of everything. Brothers and sisters, everything I've got belongs to Him anyways. It's all His. It's not mine. But I want you to write these verses of Scripture down. I'm not going to try to read them. But I want you to think about them as you go out this week. Just remember, He's an almighty God. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. It's right in front of the book of Habakkuk. Some of the greatest Scriptures that I know of in the Bible. And it's talking about the city of Nineveh and how they had disobeyed Him. It's the first chapter. It's only a few chapters. I think it's only three chapters. I encourage you just to read all of them. I thought that I might have time to kind of get in there and talk to you about some of those things this morning, but the Lord is through with us this morning. And I know one thing. After I've been preaching as long as I have been now, and it doesn't seem like a long time to most of you, when God's through with us, we've got to be done. No matter how much we want to go back and we want to try to preach those, if I'd done that, well, I'd tear down everything that I've tried to preach this morning. But I want us to remember one thing, and I do want to read the verse of Scripture over in Revelation this morning, one of the first ones that I read. I do feel like I need to do that this morning. I want us to go away from here this morning remembering that God is a powerful God. He holds everything in His hands. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand and while we sing, I hope and pray that this has helped someone. Like I said, it's not a message that's going to make us just be overly excited. Brothers and sisters, we serve an almighty God.